you're probably of two minds. One is the idea that so many of your young kids have played well. You don't know what a playoff player will be like until they actually play the playoff game. So for Anderson, for obviously Nyquist, Brendan Smith even has stepped up in his first real run at things. And they've taken the place of veterans who I don't want to call them disappointing, but the young kids have really forced their way into the lineup, haven't they?
Yeah, they've been a real key to our success. You know, I think that, you know, over the 48-game regular schedule, a lot of our veterans missed a lot of time due to injuries, you know, especially guys like Samuelson and Bertuzzi. And our younger players got an opportunity to come up from Grand Rapids and got in the lineup and played well. And, you know, when you're a veteran player and you miss basically most or all of the regular season, it's we've tried to get Sammy and Bert back in there, but it's, you know, the games are going 100 miles an hour, and they need a little bit of time to get caught up. So when you got some young legs and they're playing well and they're helping us win, we were really in playoff hockey since probably the last 6-8 games in the regular season, and we put a run together at the end to play our way in. Obviously, we've stuck with the lineup, and it's allowed us to get to this point.
Home ice has been very good for you in the postseason, Ken. What's it going to take for you guys to close out the series tonight?
Well, we've obviously got to be better than we were in Game 5. I thought that obviously Chicago was real desperate, and as the game wore on, took it to us. I mean, we know we can play better. We've played a lot better, throughout this series and the Anaheim series. So, you know, we've obviously got to be better defensively. They got 40-plus shots. I think that we've got to, right from the get-go, we've got to be, play with a little more desperation and take away their space. They've obviously got a real high-skill team, and if you give them space, they're going to spend zone time, and when they spend zone time, they create scoring chances, and eventually the puck, as well as Jimmy Howard's playing, you know, if you give somebody enough chance, they're going to score. So we got to take away their space, be good defensively, and try to spend more time in their zone, get the puck behind their D, and try to cycle. And again, play with a little more desperation and a little more urgency than we did in Game 5. Their backs were against the wall. They were at home, and they came out real hard. We got to do the same tonight.
Ken Holland, kind enough to join us. Damian Bruner's been great for you guys, 26, and though not drafted, your scouts obviously had watched him for a couple of years, play in the Swiss League, be very good. Let me ask you, when you became general manager, was it by design or because of the depth that you had that you could take time with players? It's harder to do now, I think, in a post-cap world, but I think you've stuck to your guns, and I think it pays dividends. But I think about Zetterberg not playing in the NHL till he's 23. Datsyuk was almost 24, and then, you know, playing third-line minutes, getting accustomed. And it's harder now, isn't it? That temptation's overwhelming for a lot of teams to put 19- and 20-year-olds in the lineup, and it just doesn't always work.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, because of the lack of depth, we're all, you know, we try to get our players here as quickly as possible, and it's a fast game. But, you know, we haven't had I think if we had a top 10 pick that was 19 or 20 years old and ready to play in the NHL, we'd put him in just like everybody else. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, I guess, however you want to look at it, we haven't had a top 10 pick since 1993, and I think we've had only one or two picks since in the teens. You know, everything else is in the 20s, or I think I've traded 8 first-round picks since 1995. You know, I'm pursuing the Stanley Cup. So the players that we draft are players that our scouts think have a chance to be NHL players, but there's more development that needs to be done. They either got to get stronger, or they got to get a little quicker, or they just need more experience, or whatever. So I spent 9 years in the American Hockey League as a player. I worked under Scotty Bowman, who we had a lot of success with veteran players. It's a little bit of, obviously it's a different league now. It's a younger league. It's a quicker league. You know, we're trying to get younger, but you know, Jimmy Howard spent 4 years in the American League, and Gustav Nyquist spent a year and a half and 2.5 years for Brendan Smith. You know, Damian Bruner is a rookie, but he's 26 years of age. He's got a lot of experience in the Swiss League. I still believe, you know, beyond those blue chippers that can step right from junior college, you know, at the young age, the more time you can give the players in the American Hockey League to develop physically and mentally, give them a better chance to be prepared for the best league in the world, because this is a tough league. If you lose your confidence, try to get your confidence. You got to get your confidence at some other leagues other than the NHL.
And you noted as well, you know, some of the injuries on your club, veteran guys, Bertuzzi, Samuelson, it just, their seasons just didn't go like they would have hoped. And the temptation must have been there. Your team's notably under the cap, but you know, like, you're not just giving away cap space, are you? When you make a trade at the deadline, you gotta pay big draft picks now or key prospects. Teams just don't give away. You know, it's not like it was 10, 12 years ago where there's 5-6 teams trying to all win the cup and 24 that are pushing away from the table. It's a very, very dicey thing to make a trade deadline acquisition. And you guys stayed relatively quiet this year. I'd argue it's paid off.
Well, you know, at the trade deadline, we had to make a decision. I don't know exactly where we were, but we were somewhere around the 8-hole, 9-hole. We were within a point or two of being in or being out. You know, I did talk to 2-3 teams about their players. You know, obviously wanted our first-round draft pick. We didn't make an acquisition. But I also look at that we did spend assets because I did have teams call about our unrestricted free agents. And I know we could have probably got a second or a first for one or two of our players. We ultimately made a decision that we weren't going to trade off our veteran unrestricted free agents, but we were going to try to stay with our team. We were going to try to play our way in, and we were, at that time, we were still hoping to get Darren Helm back. He was practicing. We thought that there was a chance we were going to get him back. We thought we'd have Bertuzzi back. We thought we'd have Samuelson back. So we thought we were going to get some veteran players back. Fortunately, I guess a few days after the trade deadline, we ended up getting into the sweepstakes for Danny DeKeyser, and Dan DeKeyser is a hometown boy that decided to sign with his hometown team, and he was a tremendous addition for us. So you know, we didn't actually spend draft picks to acquire players, but we also didn't, like some of the teams that were in the 7, 8, 9 hole that made a decision to unload some of their veteran players and get assets. We decided to stay with our players, and those players that we kept have helped us get to this point in time. So, you know, I think as a manager, I've traded 8 first-round picks in my time as manager. I'm not. I'll trade a first-round pick, but it's got to make sense. And I didn't think it made sense, given where our team was, that there was a possibility that we could miss the playoffs, and to trade the 13th, 14th, 15th pick in the draft for a rental when there was no guarantee that we were going to be in the playoffs. That risk, you know, it's a risk and reward. That risk wasn't worth the reward, but we certainly stood flat, and I think that turned out a pretty good move for us.
And Ken, what has Mike Babcock done to get the most of this group of players this year in the postseason?
Well, the good thing about Mike Babcock's coaching career is, you know, he's coached in junior in Spokane and Moose Jaw. He's coached in Canadian University in Lethbridge. He's coached the World Juniors. He's coached the Olympics. He's coached the World Championships. He's coached in the American Hockey League with Cincinnati for three, four years. He coached in Anaheim. So he's coached. When he came to Detroit in 2005, he's coached an NHL team that had a lot of veteran players. You know, Shanahan was here, and Eisenman here was here, and Robert Lang was here, and obviously Lidstrom and Rafalski and Holmstrom and Chelios and Hasek and Osgood. So he's coached at every level. So, you know, this is a younger team, so this isn't new to him. He's done this pretty well probably his entire career prior to getting to the National Hockey League. So probably had more patience than he's had to have with our veteran guys. He's, you know, young kids have made some mistakes, you know, turning pucks over that maybe led to scoring chances or on occasion led to goals against. But he's thrown those kids right back on the ice. He's believed in them. He's shown trust in them. You know, he's got a plan. We've always played with the same plan. You know, but I just think the one thing that he's probably shown with this group of players is probably a little more patience because of the age and inexperience of some of them, but these kids have really developed here over the last 6-8 weeks.